This is Dave Gloetz of MrRadio.org. I'm speaking with Ben Jarofsky, who writes the weekly column for the Chicago Reader called The Works. Ben's column on February 7th, 2008 is titled The New School Shuffle. And we're talking today about the rest of the story. Ben, your article talks about Chicago Public Schools' plan to combine two schools. Students of the Edison Regional Gifted Center would move to the underused Albany Park Multicultural Academy. One of the fundamental issues here is, as you write, that the public school system is pretty much broke. You want to put part of the blame on the city, which could, instead of funding private development, put more money into schools. Do you have any idea how much of the Chicago Public Schools' annual $4 billion plus dollar budget is paid for by Chicago property taxes?
Roughly half, a little less than half of the budget comes from property taxes, and the rest comes from state and feds. Unless the state and the feds kick in more money, they're going to have to raise the property tax. And so what I argue is that we have what they call capital needs. We need to build school buildings. We have to account for and accommodate all the demographic changes that are occurring in Chicago. So you have a problem where you have some areas where you have underutilized schools, a lot of space in a school, and other areas where they're crowded. How do you deal with that in a system that's broke? They don't have the money on hand, they don't have the will to immediately spend the money to build new buildings. So what they do is, it's this long, protracted political dance where they force people to go to hearings and beg and plead and do somersaults and cartwheels. And then 5 years later, after the people started pleading for the new school, they'll agree to build a school. By the time they get around to getting the contracts out, pouring the cement, acquiring the property, et cetera, it's like 8 years have passed. And demographics have changed. The new school that you just built is not needed.
You contend that one of the conditions that precipitates this is the Chicago Public Schools not having enough capital money to begin with to be able to react quickly to needs for schools.
Right.
So they've created this very protracted process that sort of clouds their inability to react quickly and build schools quickly.
That's pretty good summation, yes.
Okay. Let's go back to the dollars. About, let's say, around half of property taxes collected in Chicago go to Chicago Public Schools. And we don't know what portion of that is the capital budget versus the operating budget.
Right.
In your ideal world, Ben, how much money do you think should be collected from property taxes for Chicago Public Schools?
Well, okay, in my ideal world, I start with my first ideal. Let's be honest about how our system works. That's my first ideal. You can't make decisions about how you want to spend your tax dollars until you understand how much tax dollars you're paying to the system, where your tax dollars are going. And the city likes to pretend as though they're taxing property taxpayers to the fullest capacity that the law allows and doing everything they can for education, when in fact they're not. I want people to recognize that at least there's a pot of $300 million minimum a year being collected in the name of education that's not being spent on education.
Because of TIFs.
It goes into the TIFs. The city will spend a portion of that on schools, but we're not getting the full dollar to dollar. We're putting more in than we get out for schools. So I want that $300 million on the table. Then you can say, okay, how do we want to spend it? What are our needs? What are our most critical needs? But the public school system is part of Mayor Daley's machine. Their primary job is not so much to educate children, it's to educate children and make Mayor Daley look good. So they go along with this facade.
Some people question whether it makes sense to give more money to agencies like Chicago Public Schools or CTA when there's plenty of evidence of waste and mismanagement in those agencies. For Chicago Public Schools, I'll just cite one example. According to the monthly newspaper Substance, since 2001, the number of administrators being paid salaries of $100,000 or more increased from 402 to 967, which is an increase of 140%. At the same time, the total number of CPS employees declined 9%. So what do you think of that perspective?
This gets at the heart of why the city conceals property tax information from its public. And I've had conversations with aldermen, city officials who openly acknowledge this in private conversations. And that is this. If the public knew how much money the city really needed to operate all its business, the public might say, no, we don't want to give you the money. You at the schools, you're spending too much money on downtown administrators and not enough money on school teachers. We're not going to give you any more until you rectify that. So they have to play this game where they conceal from the public the full amount that the public's paying because the public would revolt, or they're afraid the public would revolt. So that's why they pretend that we're not spending as much as we really are, because they want to minimize the political fallout.
And officials, city officials, have said to you that they feel justified in what they're spending, but they don't think that the public gets it. They don't think the public would get it if they knew the truth. And so that's why city officials feel forced to play this game.
Yeah, well, most of the city officials, the number crunchers that will talk to me privately, they're just number crunchers. They're not shaping policy.
But you've had the kind of conversation I described.
Yeah, I've had the conversation where they talk about, well, if the public knew, if they understood that TIFs were taxes, they'd be outraged. And they would demand that we either stop raising them, stop creating them, or spend it differently. But since the public doesn't understand that TIFs are taxes, they are largely docile. The real question is, why aren't more people harping on this? I talked to my friends in the affordable housing. Where are you guys? You want Chicago to have affordable housing? How can you maintain affordable housing when property taxes are shooting up? What greater impact is there on affordability of housing than the property tax, particularly if it's rising? But they're oblivious, or they got their deals.
And so they're happy enough.
Yeah, they got their money from the city. They realize it's not a perfect world. They want to do what they can. So they take what they get.
They take their money and shut up.
And shut up.
I want to move on to something that's, I think, an important point, which is that parents feel that Chicago Public Schools forced this move of Edison students to Albany Park without their input. You quoted a CPS spokesman as saying the timing of the announcement was not a big deal. And the picture that you paint is of a bureaucracy that wants to shape the school system without meddling coming from outsiders. Is that how the system feels to you?
Oh, my God, yeah. This is an old and ongoing story. And one of the perverse delights I get in reporting it is watching a parent's first reaction to it.
Because you've seen it
before. I've seen it a million times. Yeah. The public schools have absolutely no regard for the people who use them. When they have to make hard decisions, the last person they want to tell is the person who's going to be the recipient of the impact of that decision. Why? Because that person will yell and scream and try to force a change that the public schools don't want to make. So they always concoct their little strategies in their back rooms for whatever reason they have, and then they deviously issue the ultimatum in a way as to minimize any prospect of changing it. This has been a system I've watched in action for years. It goes from one school to the next. I could name the schools: Metro, Jones, Senn, Roosevelt, Disney, all the magnet schools, and now Edison. When they want to do something, they do it. And the last people to know are the people who are affected. And so the people at Edison all of a sudden are told, your school is moving. We have no choice. We have to do this. You have to go along with this for the better of the team. If you don't go along with this, then you're an elitist snob who doesn't care about the other kids in the system.
On the other hand, I've seen CPS spokespeople quoted in the press saying, well, this is not a done deal. You know, when parents come to a meeting, where they're informed about it and object, why didn't you tell us? They say, this is not a done deal.
It's brilliant. It's unbelievable. It's total Orwellian. They come up with a done deal, and then they say it's not a done deal in order to give you the illusion that you can change it. Then what they do is they hold their public meeting, which is generally a statutorily required public meeting, or at the very least, a public meeting that public relations requires they hold. They sit there with stone face while people yell at them, and then they mumble something about change is always hard. And we've listened to you, and now we're going to do what you don't want us to do.
And is that, as far as you're aware, is the public process that CPS uses to involve parents in school planning?
Yeah. Chicago is a city of insiders. Everybody tries to cut a deal. I'm going to go back room. I'm going to make my deal. I'll take care of my kid. And I really can't worry about anybody else's.
This environment forces that.
Yeah, well, they love that environment because if you cut individual deals here and there, you undercut the opposition. You give one guy what he wants. The rest of the people are watching the Super Bowl. They're too dumb. Nobody cares about them anyway.
So they'll try to grease the squeaky wheel, right. And then they're all set.
Right. And so that's Chicago.
All right. Well, I think we'll leave it there. Thanks for that education.
Thank you. Ben. You're welcome.
This is Dave Glowatz. I've been speaking with the Chicago Reader's Ben Jarofsky about the rest of the story. When you have a chance, check back at MrRadio.org for further installments or subscribe to our podcast. Thanks for listening.